of this was done without the young couple knowing anything about it. It was an arranged marriage, and they would have no idea that their parents were up to these things. The second stage of the Jewish marriage is called the betrothal. And during this time, the young couple agreed to the marriage. And they would actually sign a legal document, and they were considered husband and wife. But they didn't live together yet. It was a time of building the relationship, getting to know each other and all of that. It was a time of planning and dreaming and the happy expectations that they would have. It lasted about a year. And as Matthew says, before they came together, so this was a period of time that they were not sexually involved with one another. They would not do that. That would be an abomination and a scandal to both families and to the community that they lived in. So that was a big time forbidden thing. And in that time of happy expectation, Joseph loved Mary and didn't take advantage of her during that time. But there was a second part of this, also a dreadful disappointment during that time. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, after he found out that she was with child by the Holy Spirit, there in verse 18, being a just man, or a righteous man, did not want to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. The second part in Joseph's story is just a tragedy, an absolute tragedy. The young lady that he was technically married to in this process before the marriage is found to be with child before they came together. You know, guys, imagine the shock. Imagine the anger. Imagine the disappointment in finding out your fiancé is pregnant and you know that you're not involved. It's almost more than you can imagine. One of the things the Bible doesn't tell us in this story is when Joseph was told. Was it right after the portion of Scripture that I read earlier that the angel came to Mary and delivered her to her that great news that was pretty shocking to her? We're not sure exactly how long it was after that event before she told Joseph. We don't even know for sure if she did tell him. But if she did tell him, I imagine it may have been something like this, that she would have come to him and said, "Joseph, I have some wonderful news. I'm going to have a baby. And it's not just any baby. I'm going to have the Messiah, the one our people have been waiting for 1,000 years. The angel told me this. An angel came to me and told me all of this. And I asked the angel, how can this be since I've never been with a man? And the angel said to me, Joseph, get this. The angel said, that which is conceived of you is by the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle, Joseph. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you happy? I bet Joseph wasn't happy. I would expect him to react like probably every one of us men in this room would react. Really? You have got to be kidding me. That is quite a story. I'm going to need a lot of time with this. I don't think Joseph was happy. I mean, how could you believe such a story? It's hard for us, isn't it? We've grown up with this story. We've known this story from the time we were 3 years old or 4 years old. Especially those of you who've lived, grown up in a Christian home. Even ones who grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. We've heard this story our whole life. This is not a shocking thing to us. So we kind of have to get out of our our history, our own personal history, and try to connect with this young man, Joseph, who's hearing this for the very first time. Something that has never been heard of in all of human history. Yeah, I heard about it in the synagogue. The rabbi read Isaiah chapter 7. I heard about it, but, I mean, really? I mean, that's one of those God stories that we go, yeah, a virgin will be with child? Yeah, okay. When I see it, then I'll believe it, right? How could he believe it? He must have felt betrayed. He must have felt like that he was a jilted lover. He must have felt that Mary had been totally unfaithful to the promise that she had made to him. But even in that shock of emotions that he's feeling, anger and that disbelief, there's still love there. He still loves her. How do we know that? Well, look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly. The law said that he could have brought her to the city gates and to the city judges there in Nazareth, and they would have eliminated the whole problem and then buried her, literally. Then Joseph's name would have been cleared, his reputation restored. But he didn't do that. He decided not to disgrace her or shame her publicly by saying to the whole town of Nazareth and the city officials and the judge, this girl is pregnant and it's not me. And they would have taken care of it. He didn't want to hurt her physically or any other way. So there was a divorce process. The translation here, he was minded to put her away secretly. It'd be to divorce her and break that bond and that promise that they had made to each other in the betrothal, where they signed their name and they were technically considered married, even though they hadn't had the ceremony yet. He decided not to do that. He just was going to do it quietly. Could have hurt her, could have made a public shame of her, could have had her eliminated, but loved her and decided, I'm just going to do this quiet, just put an end to this thing, do it quietly, do it secretly. I can get on with my life, she can get on with her life. But he didn't do that. He did it quietly. And he demonstrated love for her in doing that. Not doing what he could have done. He was operating on the law of the love of grace. And we don't know where he could have picked that up, where he could have learned about the law of grace. But he was operating in that law of grace and not the law by word and by letter. He was operating in this law of grace. Just to do it quietly because he still loved her. Didn't want to hurt her. Didn't want to shame her publicly. And then sometime after, we see that he received a mighty message. Verse 20. But even as he was thinking about these things, putting her away quietly, divorcing her, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. But see, the angel is already saying, she's already your wife. Because that's the way it works. Don't be afraid to take to yourself Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And if Mary had given him the news, something like what I had read before, or had surmised before, now Joseph is having the same kind of dream, and that's the way God is still revealing himself to people in dreams today. If you want to read about that or watch some YouTube videos about that. Look at how God is coming to people in dreams, just like that, in the Middle East, to Muslims, coming to them in a dream. And they're coming to faith in Jesus through that experience. We have a hard time with this dream business. Because I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for a long time, and I haven't run into too many people who said, God appeared to me in a dream. And here's what it was about. I mean, it's just not something that we hear a lot. So we kind of have trouble connecting with that. But essentially, the angel is saying, look, Joseph, Mary is not lying to you. She has been absolutely truthful to you. Whatever it is she said to him. She has not been unfaithful to her promise to be your wife. There's no other guy in this deal. In fact, that which happened to her is a fulfillment of God's promise to save people from their sins. And if Mary included that in her part of the story, now the angel coming to Joseph is confirming that story. And Joseph, being a just man, we can surmise that, yeah, he was going to synagogue every Sabbath and hearing the Old Testament, probably had heard many times about in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9 about this Messiah coming and all the prophets telling their story about this Messiah coming who would save the Jewish people from their sins. And he had heard that. He knew that they had been waiting for the Messiah for over 1,000 years. He may have known, if he had been to synagogue every Sabbath, he may have known that over 300 times the prophets had prophesied concerning the Messiah. And through their prophecies, they had predicted every aspect of the Messiah's life. And all of a sudden, he's having this dream and he wakes up and he's thinking, oh yeah, I remember this story. I remember what the rabbi said. He didn't have a copy of the text like we do. All he had was what he heard on Sabbath, at Sabbath service. That's all he had. But he could remember, yeah, the prophets have told us, and I remember Isaiah said a virgin would conceive, and it's unbelievable that mine, the virgin I'm going to marry, it's her. It's her. The angel said, don't be afraid, it's all true. It's your girl. Imagine that. Guys, it's your girl. I picked your girl, Joseph. That's amazing. That would be amazing. And because he loved Mary so much, I imagine when he woke up from that dream, his anger and bitterness and disappointment and all of those emotions and the shock of it all just melted away. And he became very joyful. He was obedient to God. Look at verse 24 and 25. And Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took to him his wife. And even reading that, it's kind of hard for us because our wedding ceremonies are so different. He took to himself that young woman that was already his wife. We don't look at it that way, do we? We look at it, we got this long engagement situation, and then we have a ceremony somewhere in the church or somewhere else. And until they say, I do, and exchange their vows, and you may kiss the bride, until that moment, they're not married. And at that moment, they are married. So we see the angel again telling us how this process worked for them. Take to yourself your wife. Your wife. And he did. He did that very thing. And at some point in the story, they had the ceremony. And they began living together as husband and wife, sharing the house that Joseph had prepared for them. And all of his doubts had been swept away. No doubt he looked forward to the birth of this one, Jesus. But it wasn't long until he recognized that there's going to be some hardships and sacrifices because of their marriage. Let me just share a couple with you very quickly here this morning. The first hardship and sacrifice would be the embarrassment. The embarrassment. Because Mary and Joseph were living in a very small town of Nazareth. And as you know, in very small towns, there's a lot of talk, and there's a lot of innuendo, and there's a lot of gossip, and there's a lot of whispering, and there's a lot of pointing. Mary is perhaps 7-8 months pregnant, and everybody knows they've only been married for 2. Everybody knows. In our day and age, that is much less of a thing. It really is. Most people don't expect the bride and groom to be pure before the wedding. Most people expect that they had been together prior to the marriage. I heard the saying when I was a teenager. You know, the first baby can come at any time. The second one takes 9 months. And I didn't get it at the time, but that's what happens sometimes. And so, it's hard for us to connect to this out of our culture today. But in that culture, this would be a pretty scandalous situation. And people would be asking Joseph when they got back after the Bethlehem trip and the trip to Egypt. When they went back to Nazareth, because God called them there, because the prophet said he'd be from Nazareth. They would have to deal with all the gossip and all the innuendos, all the questions to Joseph. Why did you violate her before the wedding? Joseph, I didn't. Well, then who's the father really? Gossip and embarrassment, innuendo would be one of the prices they pay for following God and all of that. Then the hardship, the sense of frustration that Joseph must have had. The story tells us here, verse 25, and he did not know her, or they did not come together sexually until after Jesus was born. So he got married, had the ceremony and everything, but there's certainly a sense of frustration. He had this woman that he loved, beautiful young woman, and he wasn't able to be with her physically until after Jesus was born. That's a frustration. The inconvenience of pregnancy. We all know how inconvenient and difficult it is, and all of the illness and the pain and the discomfort. And we live in a comfortable place. I mean, if you can imagine, just the furniture and the bed that they slept on in those days was nothing like we have today. There is nothing of the comforts that we have today. Even coming to church, we sit on these beautiful padded pews. They sat on the floor. And their sermons were a lot longer than the one you're going to get. And that was just life. That was life. Their services were half the day back in the day. So it was just very inconvenient and not only physically stressful, but they had to make a trip. Now, we make a trip today, and it's pretty easy. We can drive down to the cities in, 5 hours? And wherever we go, we can have maybe greater comfort than we have at home. They made the trip to Bethlehem, a distance of 80 miles they walked. Maybe Mary rode on a donkey. We have that in our vision somewhere. I don't know if you've ever ridden a donkey, but I imagine it's not very comfortable, even if you're feeling great. I can't imagine being 9 months pregnant and ready to have a baby, riding miles on a donkey every day. And they finally get to Bethlehem. Bethlehem's a larger town, but it is filled with everybody who are still alive in the region who had to come back to Bethlehem to register for the census. And so the place is teeming with people. No room for them, of course, at the inn. No place for them to go. And they have to go to the barn. And we've all been in a barn, and the barn has its purpose, but you wouldn't want to spend very much time in there, let alone have a baby in there, ladies. Not the place you'd want to do that. But that's all they had to them. And so they ended up there in a stable. And it came time for Mary to have the baby. The labor pains came. And again, it's completely different. We have to We have to step out of our culture and try to step into that culture when we figure this thing out and think about this from Joseph's point of view. Because it probably, as far as I can remember, it was in the middle 70s. Maybe you can help me. Was it in the middle 70s before the father could actually participate in the birth of the children? 70s or 80s? I remember late in high school, I graduated in 79, that you'd hear stories about the guy got to be there, right there when his child was born. And we're like, whoa! What do you mean you were there? Because we all heard from our father, yeah, I was... Yeah, we got to the hospital, but I was in the waiting room getting the cigars ready. Right? And that's what men were relegated to, that position. Yeah, you buddy, you get over there. And we'll bring the baby to the window and let you look through the glass. You're not coming in here. You're not coming in here. Now, I mean, that's normal. Joseph didn't have the labor and delivery classes that young husbands have these days. Because back in that day, and all the, probably up till 1960, there was the midwife. And the midwives came, and the men got out of the house, and the midwife was there, maybe a couple of helpers, and they delivered the babies. That was it. That's how it worked. That's how it worked in my family. My great-grandmother, Ethel, was the midwife, and she birthed all the babies. That's what Grandma did. And you probably have that in your family as well. Joseph didn't know how to do anything. And now Mary's screaming and labor, she's going to have a baby. What does he do? He doesn't know what to do. Maybe there's nobody around there to even tell him what to do. But he hung in there. I mean, this guy is a great guy. He hung in there, and he did the best he could. He didn't know about coaching the breathing and all of that kind of thing, like they teach us guys in the labor and delivery classes now. He didn't know any of that, but he hung in there, and Mary had the baby, and he cut the umbilical cord. I mean, what a trooper. He did that because he loved her. He loved her. And then after Jesus is born, then he's got to clean the baby up and all of that and wrap him up. They were exhausted from their trip. Absolutely exhausted. And then he hears a commotion outside the barn. What's going on here? People are coming, pounding on the barn. Commotion, loud voices, yelling and screaming. Who is it? I mean, are they enemies? Do I need to find a pitchfork? What am I going to have to do here? And all of a sudden, opens the door, there's some shepherds. We've come to worship the baby. Wow, you're here to worship my baby? And the story starts connecting. It's really quite extraordinary. It really tells us a little bit more than what we may have known. Yeah, Joseph was involved, but what he did was pretty extraordinary and really revealed, I think, the love that he had for Mary, and has really become the greatest love stories there ever was. And it just happens to be the story of Christmas. It's a love story, not just because God loved us and sent his son to die for us, but it's also a love story between Joseph and Mary. And we just think about him. We think about Joseph. We have the epitome of a regular guy. There couldn't be a more regular guy than this guy. Made furniture. That's what he did. He wasn't a spiritual giant. He wasn't one of the religious movers and shakers of the community. Just a humble guy of humble means, chosen by God. He is like every single one of us. He pursued Mary for a wife. He probably thought that he was following the desires of his own heart. But really, I think God chose him in the outpouring of divine providence just as much as he chose her to give birth to Jesus, to bring salvation to the world. What Joseph did was he obeyed God without understanding what God is doing. He had no idea. God said it. The angel said it. I'll do it. That's all he knew. The angel said it. That's the voice of the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And we can learn then that God can use any of us, anybody, for His purposes. We can learn that we can obey God even when we don't understand what He's doing. We have no idea what this is all about. We can learn to obey the word of the Lord so that He gets all the glory and we receive the greatest spiritual blessings. Let's pray as we have our time of communion this morning, guys, if you want to come up. Father, we thank You for this story. We thank You for Joseph, this young man who was no doubt very excited about what You had brought his way with this young woman. And then he realized there's big trouble, and his life was turned upside down. Just like in many ways, our life is turned upside down by life circumstances, and our heart is broken. And what we thought would be, we think will never be. Lord, You picked this man. And we thank You that You revealed to him Your plan, and he followed Your plan because he trusts in You. And we pray that You would help all of us. And as we know how the story goes, we know how Jesus grew up. A young man who was fully human and fully God, a reality that we have a struggling time to understand fully. But as the Lamb of God, without spot or blemish, He sacrificed Himself so that the love of God could be made manifest to us. So we would understand something of the law of grace and not the letter of the law. That You, by Your love, would sacrifice Your Son. That Jesus, by His love for us, would lay down His life to give to us, that we might be forgiven and set free from the letter of the law of sin and death, that by Your grace we could be saved, we could be cleansed from all of our sins, adopted into the family of God, with a goal that is set before us to be like Jesus. So we have to learn about Jesus, learn who He is, learn what He did by spending time in Your Word. Father, we are so grateful and worship You, and we worship Jesus, that You gave Yourself for us, that we could be set free. Amen.